Association of the Twin Cities.
Broadcasting from the Pick Point Studios, this is Minnesota Sports Station, FM 100.3, KFXN Minneapolis, St. Paul. The Fan.
This guy's all fired up. He wants his...
Come on, baby.
That's the pick being handed in. Steve, right there. Here's the commissioner.
Okay, with the third pick in the NFL draft, the Minnesota Vikings select...
The Combine.
Robert Griffin III, RG3!
Hey, action, and Lux going again down the middle, deep, wide open.
And this will be a touchdown, first catch of the night.
Productions is back at the National Football League Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. Mike Wapshaw from Vikings.com. Yours truly, Paul Allen. It's a Joe Nelson production, and we begin with a longtime National Football League writer, the Goose, Rich Goslin from Dallas, the Dallas Morning News. Good morning, Goose, and welcome back to the Combine.
It's 21 in a row.
Wow.
They all run together.
We have good news and bad news. Good news, congratulations on writing columns now. Thank for you. The Dallas Morning News. The bad news, and, you know, I think for those listening expecting unbelievable National Football League speculation from this spot from the Combine, they're going to get it from you here momentarily, but you're not doing your mock drafts anymore.
No.
So that means mashing on F5 at about 11 o'clock Central up to midnight to try to be the first to see your mock draft. You're not doing the patented Goose mock drafts anymore. What's going on?
The mock drafts, and I used to do a top 100 board, which is pretty good roadmap for the first three rounds.
Yes, sir.
You know, that's covering the draft was a full-time job for me. I mean, I would go from February 15th to April 28th. I'd be working. I'd be talking to all the teams. I'd be researching 600 players. I had a good feel for the entire board. But now I can't do two full-time jobs. I'm going to spring training with the Rangers, and I'll have Maverick games, and there's a NASCAR race. I'll be doing all that. So
cool.
I told them I can't do two full-time jobs. They said, worry about the column.
But you're still going to scratch one out, aren't you?
No.
You're not going to scratch any form of a top 10 or anything? That's football sacrilege.
I'm going to let somebody else do that.
Man.
I'll be in spring training.
All right.
Yeah. And
I'm here. I'm still talking to a lot of people. I got a feel for some things.
Well, it wouldn't be the Combine if you weren't here, so we're glad you're here.
What's Speculation Central look like for you here? Are you waiting around for Robert Griffin III? You're working on Peyton Manning? What's the world of column life like?
I'll be working on Robert Griffin III.
Yeah.
I'm doing a column on Sunday on him where he – projects. You know, he's going to be the second pick of the draft. We just don't know who it's going to be and what the price they're going to have to pay. I think the Rams are definitely moving out. They've got the quarterback. That's the value there. And I think if I'm the Rams, I'm asking for 3-1s.
And I'm glad you said that, because in being here Wednesday and hanging out in the lobby and talking to people and being here yesterday doing the show, it seems like it's a done deal. I mean, it seems like it's nearly 100% St. Louis will not have the second pick. It's just a matter of with whom they trade, correct?
And they're going to get – and the reason I say 3-1s, actually getting 2-1s, because they're going to flip. Whether it's Cleveland at 4, Washington at 6, Miami at 8, they're going to have a top 10 pick, whoever they deal with. And – 2 number 1s. Cleveland has 2 number 1s this year.
Yep, Julio Jones deal.
Right, I think that may be a little rich. And frankly, if I'm the Rams, I don't want 2 this year. This is going to be a long-term rebuilding project. You got to get pieces. And I would rather have the double picks each of the next 2 years. That gives you great leverage on draft day with 2 picks in the first.
So that leaves Matt Khalil for the Minnesota Vikings if they want him.
Matt Khalil, Blackman, the receiver from Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
I mean, those – and I think, you know, you put in Ponder last year. I think right now the goal is to accelerate his development. You do that by putting better players around him.
Mm-hmm.
I remember back in 1990 when I was covering the Cowboys, everybody wanted to see Steve Walsh. They didn't think Troy Aikman was the answer. And I was talking to Jimmy, and I said, "What would you give Walsh a shot?" He says, "Hey, Troy's not the answer. I'm the problem. I got to put better players around Troy."
That's great.
To make him a better quarterback. And that's what the Vikings have to do with Ponder, which I think they'll probably go offense, either go with the tackle or go with the receiver. That makes the quarterback better.
The well-respected Goose from the Dallas Morning News to start Combine Day 2, Wabi, Paul Allen, Indianapolis.
You brought up Matt Khalil, who we're kind of hope I'm kind of hoping is going to be there for the Vikings at number three. But
he'll be there.
It's an interesting opinion that I want from you, because the Cowboys last year took his former teammate Tyron Smith eighth overall. He was also an offensive tackle. When you were doing research on Tyron, what also did you find out about Matt Khalil, and did Tyron have a good season? And if he does that bode well for Matt Khalil's chances?
Well, two things. One, he was playing right tackle at Southern Cal because we were told the left tackle was better.
Right.
So that's good. Secondly, they're going to flip Smith to left tackle this year. He's a natural left tackle. He's got natural athleticism. He's got great hands. Mm-hmm. But he's a better fit there. They wanted to get him comfortable. He played right at Southern Cal. They wanted to get him into the NFL system as a right tackle. This year he flips.
Do you anticipate Laurent Robinson hitting free agency?
No. Yeah, I think if he's smart, he stays there.
Yeah.
Because they've got two receivers ahead of him in the queue. If he signs for big money elsewhere to be a lead receiver or two, he's going to see better coverage.
Yeah.
Historically, we see these guys that are twos signing to become lead, like Alvin Harper when he left the Cowboys.
Yeah. Great take.
They can't when you go against the best corner every week, you don't have the same productivity. I think if Robinson's smart, he'll re-sign with Dallas and stay in that role.
Speaking of free agency, we got into an interesting conversation with our GM, Rick Spielman, yesterday about the timing of free agency this year being so different than in previous years. Usually they get home from the combine and it's immediately free agency. This year it's not till March 13th. How do you think that's going to impact free agency, specifically with the number two pick? Because we might figure out who's going to be picking number two with the Rams once free agency starts, because Miami might go get a Peyton Manning if he's available, or Washington, a Peyton Manning if he's available, Matt Flynn. And so we might know who's in and who's out trying to get up to number two, right?
Yeah, and the other thing is, nobody's put tags on players yet.
Yeah.
I mean, that changes your list dramatically when teams start tagging players, put franchise on. That pulls good players off the board. Now, I'm sure the Vikings and everybody else has their list, and it's a matter of just subtracting when guys come off. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Goose, we mentioned Robert Griffin III. You're going to be doing some work, and you can follow it via the Dallas Morning News website over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Those listening in the Twin Cities and throughout the Fan Radio Network, what do you know about him now? Did you see him live? Have you met him? Have you interviewed him? What do you know about Robert Griffin III at this stage?
Well, I've talked to him. I've seen him play. He's going to wow the scouts here with his interview. He is a quality kid. He's already got his master's degree. If he'd gone back next year, he'd be working on a second master's. He still wants to go to law school. I talked to him at the Super Bowl. And law school's still in the plans, but it's going to be on hold until, you know, after the football thing plays out. Very bright kid, military family, very well-disciplined. He's a yes sir, no sir, yes ma'am, no ma'am type of kid. He's got a better arm than Locke.
Really?
And he's, you know, he toyed with the idea a year ago of trying out for the Olympic team as a sprinter. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be faster. He's going to be he's a better overall quarterbacking package than either Cam Newton or Tim Tebow, but the problem is he's smaller. He's 6'2".
Yeah, I saw some statistic with Robert Griffin III where at some point in the season, a significant way into the season, like three or four games, he had more touchdown passes than incompletions.
Yeah, he had a tremendous start. This is how Cam Newton won the Heisman 2 years ago. He had the great start, and that's what Robert Griffin did. Robert Griffin wasn't on anybody's map until that first month, and all of a sudden he was one of the favorites.
So you've gotten to know Robert Griffin III. Let's go back last year. The guy that we selected, Christian Ponder, some people were surprised that it came at 12, but you weren't, because in your mock draft, you had him going earlier. So what did you get to know about Christian Ponder last year, and why did you have him going that high?
Well, one, he had a great interview, great set of interviews here, great leadership intangibles that were going to make him a good fit in any huddle, in any locker room. He had the skills, but what drove the whole thing was, if you don't have a quarterback, you've got to find one. Quarterbacking is now 90% of the game.
Yeah.
And there were so many teams last year that didn't have that guy. I knew there was going to be a run. I had pretty good intel that there could be a run high on quarterbacks. I was not surprised that the Vikings went there. What surprised me is that Andy Dalton slid out of the first, the Bengals got him. I was shocked after those first four went that he didn't go by 20. And the Vikings got a huge break.
Okay. Is Andy Dalton, and being from TCU, you know 1,000 times more about him than we do, despite watching him with the Bengals last year. But with that nice big offensive line they have in Cincinnati, a serviceable running game with Cedric Benson, and the game changer AJ Green, Jermaine Gresham also highly underrated tight end. Is he a legitimate quality quarterback for many years, or just kind of a product of what was around him?
No, he's good. He's legit. Really? He's the winningest quarterback in TCU history. And TCU doesn't have Texas, University of Texas type talent, or Oklahoma. They're doing it with the second tier players, and he took them to the Rose Bowl, took them to an undefeated season. He makes those around him better. He's legit, and he's going to get better there. I went to the workout at TCU last year, and I've never seen a guy throw a more catchable pass. Even the deep passes were feathered in. His receivers had to love him. I bet they were low on drops this year because he throws such a catchable ball.
Rich Goslin, Dallas Morning News, our beloved Goose at the Combine. Wobby?
One guy who I think is going to be interesting to watch from an NFL perspective, not necessarily Vikings perspective, is Trent Richardson. And I know that an injury came up here, but I think that there's going to be teams who think he's talented enough to take in the top 10. And we don't really see running backs go that high anymore. But do you see Richardson surging up the draft board, and would that influence the top 10 a little bit?
It'll be close. You know, Engram went later than I thought last year. He went at 18. And right now, the NFL, they're not running the football. They're throwing it. And I think you need pass rushers, you need receivers, you need quarterbacks, and that's what you're going to see. I think he'll go somewhere in the teens. He's the second best running back come out of that high school.
Dallas picks in the teens.
They got more problems than running back. Okay.
Secondary for Dallas?
They need a corner, but I think you can get corners in every round of the draft.
Yeah.
I think the Giants showed people that you got to have a pass rush.
Yeah.
The Cowboys have one pass rusher. The Giants have three. Until the Cowboys get that stereo pass rush going, I wouldn't be surprised if they went defensive end or pass rusher, outside linebacker there. But a cornerback is the need, though.
Well, you know what? I chat with you twice a year, and I've never asked you this. What in the heck happened to Terrence Newman? I mean, he was so highly touted coming into the NFL, and maybe he was good early. But every time I watch Cowboys games, I mean, I know you got Skandrick over here and, you know, some deficiencies at the safety spot, the pass rush outside of DeMarcus Ware, not necessarily the greatest in the world. But Terrence Newman at times looks like a liability.
Well, he's become a liability. The problem with Terrence Newman is when he came to the NFL, he was a 25-year-old rookie.
Okay.
If he had come in at 21, he could have played 8 or 9 years, and really before the age set in. You can't get old at cornerback.
Yeah.
So last year he's a 33-year-old corner. And he was getting beat right and left. He lost a step, and he got tentative, and he was playing with fear. He wouldn't challenge receivers. He was always playing back, and they were running by him. He won't be there next year.
The Cowboys, not to be flip, but they better be careful. If the Redskins get that quarterback situation covered and work on the offensive line with Arakpo and Ryan Kerrigan, London Fletcher still brings it. The champions are in the division. The Eagles have talent all over the place. If the Cowboys aren't careful, they could run last in that division.
Easily. I mean, last year, they were the two teams that finished ahead of them, Giants and Philadelphia, they were winless. They lost four games to the Giants and Eagles. Redskins beat the Giants twice with Rex Grossman. If they go out, if they're the team that gets Robert Griffin III.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a team to watch this year. And this again, becomes a very dominant division in the NFC. A
couple of quickies to close for the Goose. Wobby?
Tony Romo, a hot-button topic in Dallas, and a lot of people are hot and cold on him. And really, unfortunately, that's been the case for Christian Ponder, too, even though he's only been in the league for 1 year. The Cowboys' patience with Tony Romo and just that, the whole aura surrounding him, how do you think they've handled that? Because I think the Vikings front office and the coaching staff, there might become a time where they have to have some patience here with Christian Ponder as he develops. One thing, Eli Manning didn't complete 60% of his passes till his fifth year. So how has that been with Tony Romo and the pressure that he's put on and Dallas's patience with him?
Well, Tony Romo's 32 years old and he's won one playoff game.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about patience. If this guy was coming in as a first-round draft pick and was on the field at 22, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But here's a guy that was undrafted. He comes in. He spends 3 years watching. He doesn't hit the field until he's 28, 29.
Yeah.
And now you look at the history of quarterbacks, Troy Aikman, Tom Brady, Brett Favre, the franchise quarterbacks, most of them are done winning Super Bowls by the age of 29. I think the window's closed on Romo. You probably got maybe two more top-shelf type seasons. But they don't have anybody in the queue right now to replace him. You can rip Tony Romo all you want, but the bottom line is he's going to be the quarterback until they find somebody in the queue that could be better.
Goose, as a columnist outside of football for a second, what about the Mavericks, the resurgent Mavericks, now that Dirk Nowitzki's in shape? I mean, looking around the league, including with our team, the Minnesota Timberwolves, you know, J.J. Barea helped win the game against Utah the other night. You got Tyson Chandler now with the Knicks. Mm-hmm. He was so important last year to winning the title. Even Deshaun Stevenson. I know Caron Butler was hurt last year, but he's helping the Clippers a lot this year. do you think the Mavericks have another title run in them, or are they kind of circling the wagons hoping Deron Williams comes there next year?
I think Williams will be there next year.
Really?
But I do think they've got a shot this year. I think they're too old to repeat. They were an old team last year that's older this year. Mm-hmm. But I think the shot they've got is they're really playing defense.
Yeah.
With all the problems with injuries to Jason Kidd and to Nowitzki, all the people that have missed the lineup, Bob, they're still playing. They lead the league in field goal percentage. They're holding teams to 60. They played Philadelphia one night. Philadelphia's up 51-37 at halftime. And Philadelphia scored 24 points in the second half on their home floor. They
That's
just
weird.
Slapped the D. They're playing D. If you play defense, you got a shot in any sport.
What's it like from your perspective working with Mark Cuban? Because from afar, he's loquacious. He's loud. He tweets. He emails. He does all that. But if I were a player for the Dallas Mavericks or if I worked with the Mavericks, I'd probably love him because I think he pays well. And you just get top-notch accommodations with everything he does.
You know, he was one of the driving forces in the stadium, you know, the arena they built and in the practice facility. Or they got it's top shelf.
Yeah.
It's across the board. It's as good as you'll find in the NBA anywhere. People love, the players love playing here. He takes care of them. Sometimes he's difficult with the media. You know, we talked to him before the games. He's on the treadmill. We're talking to him while he's doing his workout, and that's our window to talk to him. But yeah, there's probably no better owner.
Goose, got to close with football. Okay. Kendall Wright, the receiver from Baylor, Steve Smith type. You know, I'm not going to put that comparison on him because he's diminutive, like the kid from Utah. But from what I understand, they play very much the same way. You can use him wide. You can put him in the slot. Kendall Wright, Baylor, what do you think?
Well, he's the best slot receiver in this draft.
Okay.
And with the game going to three and four wide receivers, he'll be a first-round draft pick because people are going with those, you know, opening games with three receiver sets. He's very difficult to cover in the slot. That's his niche. He'll be a first-rounder because of that.
Great luck with the new endeavor, and we'll follow you online. Okay, Goose?
My pleasure, Thanks, guys. Anytime.
Thank you very much. Rich Goslin from the Dallas Morning News to kick off Combine Day 2. Mike Wabshaw, Paul Allen, Ryan Donaldson produces it from the Great Ship Love Covenant back outside of Minneapolis. Joe Nelson's here. Coming up later, in fact, very shortly, our friend Paul Charchian from LeagueSafe.com. It's a Friday football feast. Got to have Charch. Minnesota Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier will join later. Likewise for former National Football League MVP Rich Gannon, former GM Charlie Casserly, Redskins, Texans. Charlie Casserly, the one who drafted Mario Williams over Reggie Bush. Everybody chided Charlie for making that move with the Texans, but he can probably look back at it now, Wobby, and say, how do you like me now?
Well, yeah, I mean, it worked out perfectly for them, and it's interesting, Reggie Bush now with a different team, and he was effective for the Saints, but not at where he was drafted. You wouldn't draft a guy like that in hindsight. Now, though, Mario Williams scheduled to be an unrestricted free agent, and a lot of people don't think Houston will be able to retain him. That guy's going to get paid somewhere, and a team that we just talked about with Goose, who might be on the rise if they can get their quarterback situation figured out.
Yeah.
The Redskins, a lot of money to spend. If they went and got Mario Williams, that defense would be stacked.
Jason LaConfora from the NFL Network will join us later. And we're working on some other guests. You never know how Steam Central is going to work. Coaches could be walking by, general managers, stuff like that. Leslie Frazier for sure at about probably about 9:40-ish, 9:45-ish head coach for the Minnesota Vikings. And then that will conclude Combine 2012 for 9 to noon productions. It one thing that we brought up with Rich Goslin that does seem like a fait accompli. I wrote about it a little bit on my show page yesterday at KFAN.com, along with a conversation I attempted to have with Matt Khalil and one I did have with Daryl Bevel. You can read that right now at KFAN.com. But I mean, I heard privately, you know, without mentioning any names, I heard no fewer than 7 times yesterday that there's absolutely no chance the Rams have the second overall pick in the draft. That is just completely done. It's just a matter of what team. So then I started to effort, well, what team do you think it's going to be? I mean, is it Washington coming from here? Is it Miami coming from here? Cleveland seemed to be the consensus. And somebody told me when we got back from pizza last night, and I was chatting with somebody in the lobby, somebody told me exactly what Goose said, that 4 and 22 is a little too rich to move up from 4 to 2, but it could be 2 to 3 first round picks. So it's just weird, Wobby. 2 months in front of the draft to think that a deal already has been consummated with somebody absolutely going to the second overall pick in the draft. which plays off what we talked about yesterday between you and I, and also with Rick Spielman, general manager for the Vikings, where three is just a spectacular spot.
I think it is, too.
If something falls apart with some type of deal with the Rams, somebody eyeballs the Rams and is like, here's the deal. We're not giving you that much compensation, and we'll take our chances with the Vikings. That could take place. Or if you want Matt Khalil, the left tackle from USC, like I do, like I think you do, Paul Charchian from LeagueSafe.com, who's going to join us shortly, he's been talking about his desire to have Matt Khalil since November.
Yeah.
I met him yesterday, and you know, as I wrote on my show page, he just reminded me of what Steve Hutchinson must have been like at the Combine like 13 years ago when it was at RCA Dome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just an aggressiveness to him. He's just a mean-looking sucker, not much neck, huge hands.
A little nasty.
He's got a little nasty thing to him, and it just reminded me of a young Steve Hutchinson. But if you want Matt Khalil, Morris Claiborne, Justin Blackmon, Quentin Coppels, if you want one of those guys, when we do the draft party at Mall of America Field, we're going to have our cliched pick of the litter.
Yeah, I think so, too. And going back to trading the number two pick, I still think Cleveland is the most likely team with whom the Rams will trade. And the reason for that is I look at the Rams and I say, okay, I think their two biggest needs are left tackle and wide receiver.
Yeah.
You could maybe throw a corner in there, but I think it's left tackle and wide receiver. If they switch with Cleveland at four, then they'll take whoever the Vikings don't take.
They'll
take
Morris Claiborne.
Oh, so they'll go defensive back.
I think they would.
If they want that, though, then I think they can switch with Washington at number six.
Let's catch up with Paul Charchian back in the cities, then talk to Leslie Frazier, coach of the Minnesota Vikings. The Combine coverage with Wobby and yours truly, Paul Allen, provided by Maxit Pawn. Learn more online at maxitpawn.net. From Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, live from Steam Central, this is 9 to Noon.
Interviews, pictures, blogs, and more from the NFL Combine. Available.
And this segment brought to you in part by Cars for Kids, and you can win a Minnesota Swarm VIP experience for four. And don't forget to check out the Minnesota Swarm in action at XL Energy Center on March 30th at 7 p.m. For all the details and to enter, go to KFN.com and type in the keyword Swarm.
Way back when in
Paul Charchian from LeagueSafe.com, the regular co-host for the Friday Football Feast, joins us now from back in the cities. If we're at the Combine, Paul Charchian gets daily run. He's with us now. Good morning, Mr. Charchian.
Good morning. How was your evening in Indianapolis? Did you go back to the same steak place that we went to, Weber Grill or whatever?
No, we didn't do that because we're staying at a different hotel this year. We're staying at the hotel where all the teams are located, so sitting in the lobby for 90 minutes provides the most bountiful off-season speculation you can find anywhere in the country.
Really? Tell me about it.
Well, for instance, talking to Darrell Bevell about the way the Seattle Seahawks season went last year, and Sidney Rice having a couple of shoulder surgeries in the off-season, learning more about I said in the open of the show, Paul, after we just had Rich Goslin, the Goose, on, that the big buzz around here yesterday, man, is that it seems like the second pick is already sold. It's just nobody wants to divulge what team's going to get it. I happen to think it's going to be Cleveland, but the second pick's already sold. It's taken away a little luster from the draft. Big deal, though. But, you know, like you've said before, it definitely looks like luck into Griffin, which means your guy, Matt Khalil, in my estimation, will be a member of the Minnesota Vikings.
This has been my belief for, I don't know, several months now, is that Robert Griffin had established himself as the second most coveted player. The Rams would not hold the pick. They'll hold basically an entire offseason auction on that pick, Paul, and they'll find really good value for it. I don't know that there's a deal already done. I mean, I'm guessing that they've told a team like Cleveland, here's about what we're looking for. Cleveland may have said, we'd be inclined to play it, but pay it, but if you're them, why would you? You know, I don't know why you would tip your hand early. I think you're going to wait till close to the bitter end on this, and see if you can't give somebody who gets desperate at the last minute and decides they have to have a quarterback and pays you some silly price if you're the Rams.
Well, they will. I mean, it's nobody's tipping their hand. It's just from talking to the right people. I'm speculating and guessing it's Cleveland, but let's not forget the Washington Redskins are in the same division as the Super Bowl champions, and they need a quarterback badly. And Daniel Snyder is one owner in the NFL who would give up everything he has to get what he wants. So I'm not ruling the Redskins out of this mix either.
I'm not either. Although I think they're gonna follow two paths. They're gonna go the Peyton Manning path and try to get comfortable on that and see if that's a legit option. And if it's not, fall. Then I think you're exactly right that they make a move on this thing and they try to be aggressive. Yeah, the other team, not to rule out of this whole mix some way somehow, is the Seattle Seahawks. Like the Redskins, that's an organization that feels that they're a quarterback away from making a real difference in the playoffs. They might be right and they might be wrong, but that may be a team that puts a play in for Manning and or trying to elevate in the draft all the way up to Robert Griffin, which would obviously be a lot harder for Seattle. But if you paid enough, I'm sure they could find a way.
9 to noon from Indianapolis, Lucas Oil Stadium, Steam Central. Thanks to Max Ippon, Wabi, Paul Allen, and Paul Charchian from LeakSafe.com back in the cities.
Hey, Charch, I brought up an interesting scenario yesterday that you and I kind of discussed about the Vikings going after a big-name free agent wide receiver and then taking Justin Blackmon, just loading up on offense in this division.
Yeah.
But after talking to several people yesterday on the show and even off the show, a lot of people don't expect the Vikings to be major players in free agency, and the more I thought about it, the more reasonable I think that is. And being coming off of a 3-13 season, the next step is like an 8-8 type of season. And I think if you're an 8-8 trying to get to a 10-6 or a 12-4, that's where you spend big in free agency. How do you think the general public Vikings fans will take not being that aggressive in free agency and waiting maybe till next year to do it?
I think it's going to be a tough sell because people are pretty conscious of where the cap is, and if this team is sitting, $8 million under the cap or $10 million under the cap, people are going to reasonably wonder, why? This has been the Wilfs, to their credit, have spent up to the cap every year, and they've done what they need to do to have really to spend enough money to put this team in a position to succeed. So, Wabi. Yeah, I think there'll be some frustration, especially at the wide receiver position, as we discussed yesterday. So deep with so many guys.
Yeah.
There's going to be value. It might not be at the top end of those wide receivers. There's going to be value out there because of the number of wide receivers out there. If the Vikings don't get any of them, and, I think it's going to be a bit of a head scratcher, and there'll be some disgruntled Viking fans. And, for that matter, I would probably be one of them that wondered, why didn't you take advantage of a buyer's market at a position of need?
Charge. I'm on the other side of that conversation, and we earlier taped an interview with Jason LaConfora from NFL Network. We're going to play it back at about 10:30 your time, and he talked a lot about that, just about the Viking situation and the wide receivers, and just off what Wabi said, Jason LaConfora and some other national reporters are bringing that up to us. I happen to believe the Vikings are very interested in Vincent Jackson. And, I've said, you and I have shared this on Fridays for weeks, where I believe they tried to trade for him two seasons ago, Brett Favre's last season here.
Yep.
I believe that that they're very interested in Vincent Jackson, and they're laying the groundwork now at the combine to make a significant run at Vincent Jackson. And so, therefore, I do believe we may not win, but I do believe they will make a run at Vincent Jackson. Would that make you happy?
It would. Vincent Jackson's not. If I could pick a receiver, I'd rather go with a guy like Dwayne Bowe. But of the guys who'll probably be available, I'd like to see Vincent Jackson because he brings a pretty unique skill set. He does a great job of getting open because he's got the crazy, crazy size. He's got good enough speed to help you downfield. He can break tackles. He's a difference maker as a wide receiver. And while I'd prefer somebody at a little more speed than he's got, somebody who can stretch the field a little better than he's going to, he still brings so many other good things to the table. He'd be a massive, massive upgrade over what the Vikings have got now. And so, yes, I'm on board with Vincent Jackson if the Vikings want to get aggressive, give him the $7 to $9 million a year it's going to cost to get him in. I would endorse that move because the need at that position is that great, and he's still Vincent Jackson is still pretty young too, Paul. I mean he's got plenty of miles in the area.
Yeah, I'm not Mr. Reporter guy either, or you, so I'm not necessarily reporting something, but I would stamp that with a prediction that up to free agency, I feel very confident sharing the Vikings are interested in Vincent Jackson and will make a significant run at him. Wabi?
Well, and the good news about that would be it would happen before the draft. Free agency, obviously, is going to be before the draft. So there covers up a need for you, and now you can focus either on left tackle or cornerback. Basically, offensive line depth and a starter at left tackle, plus cornerback slash safety in the first few rounds of the draft. And and that's because Vincent Jackson is such a huge upgrade that the next receiver that you needed to go along with him and Percy, you could get in the middle round. So that would allow the Vikings to use their 10 picks to address offensive line depth and secondary in charge. We all know those are two big needs.
Yeah, you framed it up perfectly, Wobby, and that's exactly why I think you take advantage of this deep free agent class at wide receiver, because as you mentioned, it frees you up to do everything else you want to do in the draft at the other positions. And so to me, it would be different. If this were a deep cornerback free agency year or a deep safety free agency year, I might be saying, let's go get a great cornerback. But it's not. So, the way that this thing happens have shaken out this year is that we've got an opportunity at the wide receiver position as our solution in free agency. So then you turn to the draft as your solution for other positions. I think you framed it up just right, and that's exactly the way I would approach it if I were Rick Spielman. And, frankly, if it doesn't work out for Rick, I think that's, it's clearly heading that way.
Leslie Frazier coming up within 10 minutes. A couple of quickies for Paul Charchian from LeagueSafe.com. Charch is on the radio. It's the Friday Football Feast.
I'm getting so excited about that, Charch. Vincent Jackson, let's say we house him. We house Matt Khalil. Where is Vincent Jackson on your wide receiver fantasy football rankings?
Unfortunately, lower than he would be if he stayed there. There's not a Phillip Rivers yet, right, in Minnesota. We like Christian Ponder, but he hasn't proven himself to be Phillip Rivers quite yet. So, at that point, I think he'd probably be somewhere in the 12 to 15 range as a Minnesota Viking wide receiver, and probably ahead of Percy because Vincent's got the big body, right? He's perfect for throwing into the end zone at because he can block out a defender. If he gets one-on-one coverage in the end zone, let's say the ball's at the 5-yard line, it's so hard to cover him one-on-one because he's so big. He just turns, he runs 5 yards into the end zone, turns, he blocks out his defender. If the ball's there, it's an easy touchdown. And I think you can make a real case about him potentially scoring 8-ish touchdowns in a Viking offense. It'd be very nice. I would certainly take that.
Okay, I saved the best for last for you. Are you ready?
Ooh, yeah.
I met him.
You did?
Yep.
When?
Yesterday.
Really? What's he doing here?
It was offensive lineman day yesterday. So when I saw Matt Khalil walk by, I started thinking about you, man. You've been dreaming about him since November.
Yeah.
Remember the anxiety attacks you were having when CBSSports.com guy bleeped up that information because he had to be first, that Matt Khalil's going to return for his senior season at USC. And then I went to the Intel notebook and we came to the feast at Chanhassen. And I told you, I don't tap on these people until we get to the combine, but you were so crestfallen over the information that I tapped on the A sources to guarantee you that Matt Khalil would be entering the draft. He's done with school. He's done enough at USC. 6'6", 295, hands are massive, doesn't have much of a neck, looks to have that nasty thing to him that like a young Steve Hutchinson had out of Michigan when he was at RCA Dome, got being poked and prodded and interviewed and stuff like that. So I met your guy yesterday, man, and when he wears That's purple great. And gold, you are absolutely going to love him.
Did you ask him about the very real possibility? I mean, most people think that Matt Khalil is going to be a Minnesota Viking. He's the kind of the consensus pick.
I'm going to share, I have it on my show page now at KFAN.com. In fact, we got to go because here comes Leslie Frazier. I'm going to share it with Leslie Frazier, okay? I'll call you from the airport today, okay?
Sounds good. Bye-bye.
Coach of the Vikings, Leslie Frazier, next fan.
PA broadcasting live from the NFL Combine, presented by Max at Pawn on The Fan.
Indy. The Combine.
Leslie Frazier, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, second-year head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, joins us now from the National Football League Scouting Combine, and our presentation is provided by MaxItPawn.com. Speaking of our sponsor, MaxItPawn.com, What do you think you could get for that 3-13 last year if you brought it to a pawn shop and said, here, I want to trade this thing in. What kind of cash are you going to give me? It might have been 50 cents, right?
maybe. Just maybe.
But it's officially behind you now because the 2012 calendar officially starts now with the combine. And, yeah. And you know, one strange thing, Leslie, is the college pro days begin before free agency, with free agency in the middle of March. You got those pro days, then free agency, then the draft. That's a little different.
It is. It's a lot different. In the past, you know, we would have started free agency right at the 1st of March, and we wouldn't have gone out to visit any colleges up to that point. So it's going to be a little different. People have to come off the road and be back in-house because we probably will end up having to host some potential free agents. So that's a lot different than years past.
Yep. What's your role in that?
Well, I'm one of the guys who has to host. You know, has to be there to visit with potential free agents if we're interested in signing them. I've got to be able to say this guy's a fit or he's not a fit.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have to set our schedules based on that.
Well, you're the head coach, man. I mean, let's send somebody else to North Alabama, Coastal Carolina to find the next Tyler Thigpen or whatever. Let's send Spielman and Peyton and all those guys around there. You can sit back and host the free agents to help your team. That's not a bad deal.
Well, I mean, this year's draft and where we're picking, it's so important that I'm involved even on the road just to be able to go out and evaluate players with our scouts, which is something I'm looking forward to doing. And then, of course, if we are hosting free agents, I want to be there to shake their hands and get to know them as well.
Excellent.
Just a couple weeks ago, we were down at the Senior Bowl, and I remember coming out of the locker room at halftime, and we're walking onto the field in the middle of an upset over the South team, and you looked at me and said, "Man, this gets me excited for next season."
Oh yeah.
What was that? What was your experience like coaching the Senior Bowl?
Well, just you know, watching our coaching staff work that week, Mike, was something I was really impressed with. You know, we made a few tweaks to our staff, and I wanted our guys to be able to get a chance to work together, and it really turned out to be like a mini camp in a lot of ways for us to be able to interact with those players, which we had to evaluate, but also for our coaching staff. I thought it was a big plus for us. I mean, you know, a year ago we didn't get a chance to have that one camp that a new staff would have, and this kind of served as that, as Senior Bowl did.
You know, and sticking with the Senior Bowl, that really changes, or I don't say changes, but it changes a little bit, but it impacts the way we prepare for the draft because that was all seniors, and you got great exposure to those guys.
Yes.
So is it basically all juniors for you and Rick and the scouts here at the Combine?
Well, there's still some homework to be done with some of the seniors. I mean, there's still some things that we want to find out, but we really do have to delve into the juniors. There are a number of juniors in this class, probably the highest number in history. So, you know, when you got 65 new guys that you really haven't done your homework on, there's a lot of work to be done on juniors.
Yep. And I'm sitting back in the studio doing the radio show with NFL Network on in the St. Louis Park studio watching you guys. Mm. And you guys practice in the morning right during my show, and I was watching George Stewart and everybody run around and stuff. It was really cool. Mm. But, you know, one of the lasting impressions for me from the Senior Bowl, without meeting the guy, and I'm sure you've met him now, but just hearing people talk about him and watching him run around, was that kid from North Alabama, that cornerback Janoris Jenkins.
Yes.
And I had never heard of him. I mean, I remember him from Florida, but I don't follow North Alabama. And then you hear about the allegations and stuff and the importance of people sitting down and meeting him. Then there's an interview with him, and he kind of went Cam Newton on it a little bit and said, I am the best cornerback in college football. You can Morris Claiborne this, Drake Kirkpatrick that. They know who's the best, and it's me.
Hmm.
I was kind of taken aback when he said that. What's your assessment of him? I mean, did you meet him? Did you interview him? How deep did you get into Janoris Jenkins?
Well, of course, we're very familiar with him. We'll become more familiar as this process goes on. There's a lot of work to be done, but he's a very good player. I mean, there were a number of good players down at that Senior Bowl on both squads. And he's a guy that we'll have to do our homework on and really get a real good feel for as we get ready for this draft.
I'm kind of obsessed with him. What kind of player is he? Is he fast? Is he physical? Does he have an edge? And how much of a concern, given this is the team that knew about the Percy Harvin allegations up to the combine, still drafted him, he became rookie of the year. Mm. You know, Jared Allen, when he got here from Kansas City, didn't exactly have some choir boy to him, and everything's worked out beautifully with him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, from you through behind-the-scenes guys like Les Pico,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there's such a good, insulated family feel with this team that you don't shy away from people like that if you think they're squared away, do you?
Well, it's important that what you just mentioned, we have a group of people that we really try to use to ascertain if a guy's a fit for what we're trying to do. It's not just me interviewing a guy or talking with him, but some of the people that you mentioned, and we have security. There are a number of steps that get involved for us to make a decision whether or not we're going to allow this guy to be a part of our football team. So whether it be Jared, whether it be Percy, or some of the others that we've had on our team that may have had a questionable past, there's a lot involved when you're making a decision about whether or not this player is going to be a part of your team.
Yeah. Another thing that you might consider in certain players is that they're measurables. And we get that here at the Combine, height and weight and size and length of arm, all that, all those measurements. For you, when you're evaluating cornerbacks, the stigma is kind of like a cover two, Tampa two defense. You want big physical corners who can jam receivers at the line. Is that true? Do you really favor that type of corner, or do you look at all the different traits?
Yeah, you know, Mike, I hear that sometimes about Tampa 2 corner.
Yep.
We're not looking for a Tampa 2 corner. We're looking for a guy that can cover and play some man. I mean, we want to be able to mix in some man coverage, and we weren't able to do that as much as we wanted to a year ago. But when we played our best defense, we've been probably 50-50 man and zone, and we weren't able to do that a year ago, and it hurt us. I mean, it showed up in the secondary. So we're looking at a lot of other ingredients other than the guy that can just jam at the line of scrimmage and sit in the flats.
And that makes a lot of sense because the best corner on our team is the smallest guy on our team. I mean, so and Antoine Winfield is a phenomenal defender and doesn't have that huge size, but he still makes a big impact.
No question about it. I mean, he's a terrific tackler. He has excellent cover ability, which allows you to do some of the things we'd like to be able to do on a regular basis on defense. And we're going to be looking at this group of prospects and trying to find guys that will give us a chance to play some man and mix in some zone as well.
Now that you've torn it down to make it better, and we chatted about it a fair amount on Vikings Live from Winter Park last year, craziest thing I've seen in my 10 or 11 years working around this team, all those defensive line sacks, all those sacks, top three in the NFL or whatever, and so few interceptions. Mm. Now that you've torn it apart and looked back at it, what exactly was the reason?
Well, we had some opportunities for some interceptions, and you know, we didn't make some catches that we could have made, and we weren't in the positions that we needed to be in. And when you are not where you should be, sometimes the ball is going to go where it shouldn't go. And we've just got to do a better job this offseason and even in training camp and making sure that we put guys in position, then we put them in position. We've got the right guys there to make those plays.
Let's chat about Christian Ponder, new defensive coordinator Alan Williams, and more when we return to the Combine with Minnesota Vikings head coach.